Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. This is Chris Brown, your host, and this is your show. Feel free to call in at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. And as always, feel free to email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Again, that's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Everything that we talk about for the show can be found at stewardship.com. That is our website, and you can make sure you reference it. So again, it's stewardship.com, and there's a section on there called Chris Recommends, and you want to make sure that you check that out. Lots of great resources there for you. Now, today, we're talking about leaving a legacy. You ever heard that term? Sometimes it's used a little out of context. Sometimes it's just a buzzword. What does it really look like to leave a legacy? Like, for real, like, what does that look like? When the next generation picks up whatever you laid down, what determines whether it's a legacy or a headache? Because sometimes you can leave the next generation a headache, and then sometimes you can leave them a legacy. And so we're going to talk all about that. There's a couple related articles that I wrote that are at stewardship.com. I want to make sure that you know about them. They relate to what we're going to talk about today. One of them is called Three Things the Bible Says About Money. Another one is Three Most Misunderstood Bible Verses on Money. And the next one is Four Tips for Sharing a Retirement Vision Together. Those are articles that either I wrote or our team wrote, and they're all there at stewardship.com. Make sure you take advantage of those. But we are talking about leaving a legacy. You know, when I think about my life and I think about the legacy I'm going to leave for my children, I immediately go back to me being a child. And what did my parents leave me? Now, although I love them tremendously, in the legacy category, there's definitely some holes in what they left me. I don't know your scenario. Both of my parents are no longer with us anymore, but your parents are probably alive still. Research shows that they probably are. What are they leaving you? Not just money. What about the other things? So when I think about my story, you know, I grew up in a lot of poverty. I grew up in some pretty intense violence, and I can remember many a nights not knowing what we were going to eat or where I was going to lay my head, and of course, not feeling very safe. It was a horrible situation. I went through middle school, high school, college, met my wife in college, and we started off doing really great financially, lived on very little. We're making some good money and investing a lot. Then I decided to go out and borrow a ton of money to flip homes, and the year was 2007. Those investments obviously didn't do very well because of the recession that hit at that time, and I hit rock bottom. Now, what I'm doing is I'm hoping to steward my story, everything that happened in my childhood and everything that happened in my, you know, the early beginnings of my adult story with going bankrupt and having to look that trustee in the face and say, I can't pay anymore. I have no more money. I've gone through all my capital. What do I do? So I'm hoping to steward that story to help folks, and I'm hoping to leave a legacy using God's principles that I have been able to, with God's help and with God's grace, been able to dig out of that horrible hole that I got into back in 2008 and finally hit rock bottom all the way down there in January of 11. So it's been quite a journey. But what does it mean to leave a legacy? Why is it even important to leave a legacy? There's great scripture in Proverbs 13:22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Now, what does that mean? This is more than money. Leave an inheritance. That's integrity. What level of integrity are we going to leave to the next generation? Are we going to leave an attitude of contentment? Or are we going to leave an attitude of entitlement? What's the next generation going to be? Are they going to be entitled, or are they going to be just content and loving? Not lack of ambition and not apathy, but just content with the peace of God. What kind of character are they going to have? What kind of worldview are they going to have? What about their faith? Are we leaving the next generation with a stronger faith than we have? Are we leaving the next generation with an audacity, with an intensity, with a passion about their faith that is greater than what we have? What kind of legacy are we leaving? And why do we leave it? Of course, the Bible says in Proverbs 13:22 that we're going to leave an inheritance, right? But it also says that stewardship demands this. Those who have been entrusted to be managers of this life must prove faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Stewardship demands that we leave a legacy. You just think about it. Think about all the folks that came before us that left a legacy for us, who left a legacy and then we draw on for inspiration. Folks that I've actually quoted them on this show, their literature, their speeches, their lifestyle, their decision-making, they left a legacy. So as we think through leaving a legacy and what it looks like, we've got to really realize that our life can really be broken down into four major phases. Ask yourself, what phase am I in? And then what phase do I aspire to be in soon? The first phase is called now. This phase is when we're really digging in and asking ourselves, how in the world do we take care of today? It's pretty much survival. When you go back to the baby steps 1 through 7 that we talk about on this show a lot, referencing Financial Peace University, these are baby steps 1 through 3. This is making sure you save that emergency fund, that starter emergency fund, which is in step 1, then getting out of debt and staying out of debt, which is baby step 2, and that is working on saving up an emergency fund, a fully funded emergency fund of 3 to 6 months that takes care of those things that pop up in our life so we can kind of, in a sense, be self-insured. So when those really rainy days happen and we get the big $5,000 surprise or the $2,000 surprise or the $10,000 surprise, we are in position. That's the now. Once we have graduated from now, we've taken care of that using God's principles, staying out of debt, making sure that we're saving, then we can focus in on then. So phase 1 is now. Phase 2 is then. Then now we can kind of pull up our eyes a little bit and kind of look to the future. And this is baby steps 4 and 5, where we start to invest. We start looking at 15% of our household income and investing that into long-term investments, long-term diversified investments, things like a 401k, things like a 403b or a 457 or a Roth IRA or a mutual fund, something long-term and diversified. We also think about baby step 5. How in the world are we going to pay for juniors college? How are we going to pay for it? What does that look like? Is it in-state? Is it out-of-state? Well, it should be in-state if you can afford it. And if you can't afford it, you need to make sure your in-state is 10 times cheaper. And you want to make sure maybe take advantage of a community college first for the first couple years if you can't afford. You know, the only folks that need to be going out-of-state and going to a really expensive college is if you can afford it. And let me give you a hint. If you have to borrow money, you can't afford it. You're spending money that's not yours. But that's thinking about the future. What does college look like for our children? After now and after then, now you start thinking about us. Us. You start thinking about this is that leaving legacy part of integrity and character and really what am I going to be leaving not only to then in this lifetime, but what am I going to be leaving to them in the next lifetime? How am I going to take care of my family for generations? And so what am I going to do with these investments? It's not just for me to enjoy and me to give during this lifetime, but what do I need to do to pass it to the next generation? So you're thinking about us as your family. And do they have the integrity to be able to handle money? Let's say you're going to give them $1 million. Do they have the integrity and the wherewithal and the wisdom and the decision-making ability to be able to handle $1 million? Let's say it's $500,000. So you got to start thinking about that. So you've got your eyes up on the future. You've now kind of taken care of your family. And now is the time you start hyper-focusing on them, the world around you. You start thinking of, okay, so everything is taken care of. The Bible says to take care of your own household first. Otherwise, you are worse than an unbeliever. And so that's what all that is, those three phases. But the fourth one is where you hyper-focus on them. This is where you hear those inspiring stories of people living off of 10% of their income because they've taken care of all those obligations already, and now they can give like crazy. And so that's now, then, us, and them. Those are the four phases. And so as we're going through life, we need to really be, doing assessments on our life. Where are we? Did we get through now? Okay. Then we start thinking about the future. And then we start thinking about us. And then we start thinking about them. And so that's kind of a cool way to look at, our next, 30, 40, 50 years, depending on how old you are. Okay. Now, when I'm talking about this, it might make you feel a little bit uneasy. It might make you feel like, well, is being wealthy even okay? I mean, we read verses in the Bible about success and wealth, and sometimes it's in a bad context and sometimes it's in a good context. Is wealth and success even okay? Well, we're going to answer that in just a few moments. But I assure you that being wealthy is something that God wants for us. If you read one scripture all by itself and not in context, you can get really confused on this. But if you read the entire scripture and you think through what the Bible says about wealth holistically, it's a good thing. It's a good thing because it puts you in position for you to do amazing things for God. The big variable here is the heart. The big variable here is the why. Why do you want to be wealthy? Is it for wealth's sake? Is it for things? Is it for the tangible things that we can enjoy? Now, of course, that's fine too, as long as it's done in ratios. We're going to talk about that in a minute as well too. But we got to make sure that we've got to know this, that building wealth is actually a mandate. I'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Those who have been entrusted to be managers must prove faithful. That means that whatever he's trusted us with, he wants us to make sure that we maximize it. So if he's entrusted you with $10,000 a year, maximize it. If it's $40,000 a year, maximize it. If it's $2 million a year, it's maximizing. What does maximize mean? Well, it doesn't mean spending it all on depreciating metal, all on cars or all on houses or all on things that depreciate over time. Of course, real estate in general appreciates, but the actual tangible things it's made out of, well, of course, we know that's where moth and rust corrupt. So we have to be really careful where we're investing our heart to grow in wealth for wealth's sake is not what God intends. He wants us to grow in wealth so that we can bring glory to his name, so that we can give, and so that we can be tremendously generous. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, leaving a legacy. Have you thought about that in a while? Is that something that's really come to your mind? Maybe you're 25, you're listening, and you're like, oh, retirement, that's for older folks. No. No, retirement, actually the power in retirement, there's more power in it now for you, the 25-year-old, because you've got a great thing working for you. It's called time, and it's called compound interest. And Matthew 25 talks all about this, about making sure that we maximize the dollars. I'm not talking about just time and energy and relationships and all that stuff. I'm talking about real money, that we maximize it for God. Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. Check it out. It's called The Parable of the Talents. Very inspiring passage. So make sure you check that out. So we are talking about leaving a legacy, and we're talking about retirement, because that's a big part of it. We want to make sure that we don't put our kids in a bad spot having to raise us. We want to make sure that we are in a position where we can bless others all the way through all of our years of retirement. Now, Chris Hogan just wrote a book on retirement. It's called Retire Inspired. Now, it comes out officially in January, but we're already pre-ordering for it. So make sure you check out stewardship.com. Let me tell you a little bit about it. Now, Chris Hogan is America's trusted voice on retirement. And he has that brand new book coming out again in January called Retire Inspired. This is where you learn how to plan for your dream retirement, whether you're 25 or you're 55. And to thank you for your support by pre-ordering, we're offering an incredible offer. When you pre-order the book, you get over $70 worth of free bonus items. Here's some of the things it includes. The Retire Inspired ebook and digital audiobook. An all-new video from Chris called Investing Basics. Can anybody use that? Investing Basics? Yeah. The Guide to Retirement Budgeting ebook. And the ebook version of Dave's latest book, The Legacy Journey. And a lot of the content in The Legacy Journey is what we're talking about here today. So head over to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends for more information on pre-ordering the new book from Chris Hogan, retire inspired. Pretty cool stuff. So, is success and wealth a good thing? Is it okay to be wealthy? And how do you know, for instance, if a car or a house is too nice? You ever struggled with that? You ever wondered? It all comes down to ratios, folks. Ratios. Now, subconsciously, have you ever pulled up against right aside a nice car and thought to yourself, man, I really wish they'd be giving that to the kingdom, you know? Have you ever pulled up to a really nice neighborhood and you just, maybe it's insecurity or maybe it's just subconscious, or you just thought to yourself, man, that's a lot of wasted money. Have you ever thought of, usually we think that about folks who have something just a little bit nicer than we do. So depending on where you're at in your income journey, if you're making $20,000, sometimes we can look at somebody making $30,000 and think they're being wasteful in some areas. And if you're making $80,000, sometimes you think that somebody making $280,000 can be wasteful in some areas. But it all comes down to ratios. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. It says that the love of money is the root of all evil. So having money, just because that person's making more money than you, doesn't necessarily make them evil or the money evil. It's the love of it. So if there's a love, it's kind of like your cell phone, right? Your cell phone. You ever hear somebody dog on technology? Oh, technology today, it's just such a distraction. It's such a horrible thing. It's just technology is getting in the way of relationships. Folks, it's not technology. It's the love of technology. The technology in the phone is just like money. It's amoral. It's not evil, and it's not good. It's amoral. It's a thing, and we can use it to be a distraction, or we can use it for good. And you know, the last time you used it for good is when you were lost and you needed that GPS on your phone and it came through in the clutch, and you were home to, you know, you can get home to see your kids and be able to make dinner, right? I mean, it's a good thing. Sometimes if we use it wrong, it can be a bad thing. So sometimes we take, you know, scripture out of context, and that would be one, people saying that money is the root of all evil. That is not truth. It says the love of money. So sometimes folks just know just enough scripture to be dangerous. You know, George Barna did some research, said 12% of adults think that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Isn't that embarrassing? Right? 12% of adults think Joan of Arc is Noah's wife. 50% of graduating seniors think that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. It's crazy. And a considerable number of respondents to one poll said Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. Folks, so just don't take these little bit of things you're hearing out there. Some of that stuff is way off. So be careful. This whole idea that we can't be successful, what it's called Gnosticism. And it's been around since the first century. This is not new, but it's just kind of like this little war against wealth. It's this war against success. And you just need to be aware that it's out there. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy at all. So if it's not okay to be wealthy, let's play this out. If it's not okay to be wealthy, then most of you listening here would not be getting into the kingdom of heaven. Because most of us are on the Western Hemisphere. We are in the Western world, and we make probably over $11,000 a year, most of us, right? Unless you're in school or maybe just happen to be in a season where you're unemployed. But most of us are in the top 14% of the world's wealth. And if you make over $34,000 a year, you're in the top 1% of world's wealth. So it looks like none of us are getting through the eye of a needle, right? Another misquoted scripture. That a rich man can't enter the kingdom of God because it's harder for them to enter the kingdom of God than a camel through an eye of a needle. You've heard that one before, right? Well, it's not referring to an actual all rich men. It's just that happened for that particular story. It happened to be the biggest obstacle in that person's life. And so that's why that verse is there. You've probably had somebody quote that to you before. That is not truth. We see scriptures all over the Bible that talk about the diligent prosper. Okay, Proverbs 13:4. When you're faithful with a little, more is given to you to manage. That's Luke 16:10. You reap what you sow, Galatians 6:7. So we know if you have to make sure that you read all the scriptures. So we're not looking for some kind of theology of poverty that to be close to God, you've got to be dirt poor and you've got to give away all your money. That's not reading the holistic scriptures. Then if you're not really looking for pride either, where it's just all about you generating income. So therefore, you're holy because you're generating all this income and you give money with it. And so it's all you, it's all you, it's all you, it's all you. That's not good either. Because Proverbs 21:31 says, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. He's the one that blesses. So the real attitude we need to have towards wealth is just gratitude. Whatever he has blessed you with, out of gratitude, we're faithful with it, and then whatever he chooses to bless us with going forward. Okay, so it's okay to generate wealth, and it's also okay to enjoy wealth. Remember, it's all about ratios. Let's just make just some big, huge monster example. Let's say you're really wealthy. You got $10 million that you make every year. The way you would handle that, biblically speaking, is you would have some kind of salary. You know, let's say, let's just pick one, $400,000 a year. Okay. And you just live off of that, which is ratio wise is really, really low. And if you did 500 or you did a million, there's no magic in these numbers. I'm just giving you a scenario on how we do this spiritually. Of course, all this is bathed in prayer and you have a conversation with God. But this would be a particular situation that when I read the scriptures and I read all of the money scriptures, this is what it points to. Maybe a $400,000 salary, because it's okay. The Bible's very clear about it. It's okay to enjoy the fruits of your labor. So let's just choose $400,000. Then the overflow of $9.6 million a year, you'd do something like this. Of course, you'd do 10% on that for tithing. So that's $960,000 towards tithing. 40% you'd put away for taxes, of course. That's $3.8 million. And then you'd have extra giving. Okay, so let's just pick a number, 10%. So that's another clear, almost another $1 million. And then, you know, you invest a little bit of your overflow. Okay. You're already investing off of your 400,000 base salary, but now you're going to invest some more. This is 35%. So that you want to make sure you're doing that so that you can give more later and the next generation can give more later. Obviously you can give more later than you could if you just gave it all away every month. Then you want to budget for maybe some extra lifestyle. The Bible's very clear that that's fine. So maybe it's 5% more. That's an extra $480,000. Maybe it's extra trips, or maybe it's an extra car. It doesn't matter. As long as it doesn't conflict with the Bible, if you enjoy it, God loves to see you smile. It's completely fine. So overall, you've got a whole 100% of your overflow budgeted, and you have 100% of your baseline salary budgeted. And that's the way it would look. Okay, so we got to be really careful when we see somebody with something nice, to be careful about the hypocrisy with that. They might have something nice in the car arena, or maybe it's in their clothing arena, but you choose not to spend money in that area. But you should spend a lot of money in another area. We've got to be really careful that we're not dissing on people who are going to get Starbucks every day, but we're wearing $300 jeans. Just got to be really careful with that, okay? Wealth, at the bottom line is wealth requires a ton of maturity, a ton of integrity. And when we're leaving this inheritance, we need to make sure that we relay that maturity to the next generation. Remember, all this talk about money, I feel very, very responsible to continue to remind us that all this talk about money is not worshiping the provision, it's worshiping the provider by managing the provision well. So make sure that's the whole why behind everything that we're talking about. The last thing I want to share with you before our time is up today is make sure that when you're leaving a legacy, you have to do that on a practical level too. You've got to leave them a box of information that they know that they can, that the next generation knows everything and everything is in line. Things like social security cards and passports and marriage certificates and auto insurance information and passwords and combinations, money market statements, tax returns, your will. Make sure you have a will and be careful. There's a lot of moving around out there. Make sure you know that your current one is state specific. You want to make sure you have a state-specific will. What is your family going to do if you graduate to heaven tomorrow? So you want to make sure you have all of that in place. And some of you might be freaking out. I just told you a bunch of stuff, and you wanted to write it all down, and you're a perfectionist and overachiever. That's awesome. I love it. That means you're taking your legacy seriously. Don't worry. We have all this stuff at stewardship.com, all the information and much more. Because I only gave you a little bit of it. I mean, the rest of it is most of that stuff right there that I just told you originally comes out of Dave Ramsey's Legacy Journey book. So you want to make sure you pick that up. And, you know, not only at stewardship.com, if you want to listen to this episode again, of course, you know, this show lives on iTunes. So subscribe to the show on iTunes, and then you can have it on demand whenever you want to listen to it. So thank you again for listening. And until next time, let's be leaving a legacy for that next generation. God bless you.